the Daily Talk Show, episode 531.
I can smell sugar. It's a Fat Friday.
you have brought Fat Fridays.
I've brought Fat Fridays. I hope you enjoy. There is a lot of sugar involved.
I appreciate it.
I mean, I've been holding off all week. This is probably the first week that I haven't. Actually, last night I ate toast for dinner, which is not that bad. I haven't eaten sugar.
No, that's... There's like nothing wrong fine. With toast.
I mean, I know me? Carbs and all the rest.
No.
It's better than
the thing
eating
is,
a cupcake.
When Daddy doesn't want to cook, Bodie doesn't get food either. Like, get
so
a home cooked meal.
Oh, that's fine.
So he had toast, peanut butter and honey.
Yeah.
And Daddy and Mummy had the same.
That's what they want, really. Yeah. Give the people what they want.
Well, my son either wants just yogurt or he wants breakfast for every meal.
Yeah. Yeah. Nuggets.
Yeah, Weet-Bix.
No, he's not a big fan of nuggets. Took him to a burger shop and he wants chippies. But you've got three little ones.
I do.
Are they wanting breakfast as well?
Yeah, they want breakfast for every meal. And my littlest, who's two, says a Big Mix. That's all he wants.
Is that Weet-Bix?
He just wants Weet-Bix. Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty, it makes life easy.
It does. I try not to give him Weet-Bix for every meal just for anyone who's listening.
Why?
Well, think about the macronutrient breakdown. It's just wheat.
And that's not good.
Well, he needs like a diverse, they all need a diverse palate. I mean, you know, am I providing that all the time? I can't necessarily say.
So you've, tell us where you brought these gifts in from.
I went to Birdcage Cafe in Altona and Kath and Ado are the owners there and friends of ours, and they have decked us out with some treats. So I've got, do you want to know what everything
is? Yes, please.
Okay, so we've got carrot cake. We've got these little bunnies are the ones that I sometimes troubleshoot to give my kids for bribery purposes. So I thought you guys might like, his bunny.
I want to put that whole thing in my mouth.
Then we've got two raw treats. So someone really.
They're vegan.
Basically. This one is some kind of passion fruit tart. And then we've got two donuts. One's blueberry and the other one I forgot. Yeah,
custard. It looks like custard.
Yeah, it looks like custard. Mm. Yes.
And then you have two bowls.
Well, I'm
one
a teacher.
One says clinkers and the other's M&Ms.
I brought structured fun.
Oh, I love structured fun. I actually really appreciate
structured fun.
No, I think this time it's always a crazy time of year trying to sort everything out for the new year. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate structure, so we don't really have to think.
Okay. Well, you're going to love this then.
Okay, great.
So one bowl is full of clinkers. Mm-hmm. And so clinkers, you ask it a question. You can do it two different ways. I looked online before I came here just to make sure. But one of the ways is that you ask it a question, you bite it, and then if there's a green, it's a yes. It's telling your future.
Oh.
Yes, no, or maybe.
I like this.
So when I was in year 8, it was like, will this boy be my husband? You know, some stupid thing. And then I would bite it.
And Russ, like it all worked out.
It all worked out. No, it's a different guy.
Remember those things that you, it looked like a hand puppet. You make it out of paper and you write on the inside and go. And
like a chatterbox or something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Chatterbox?
Yeah, they're cool too.
Yeah, I remember that shit.
Yeah.
That was a similar thing. It's like, am I going to...
And then the other bowl
we could make all our business decisions based on this.
I like that.
That's the best way to use clinkers.
Yeah, perfect.
How'd you go out of business with clinkers?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we can ask it. We'll find out, guys.
Will
we make it through 10 years? Will we make it through? And so do I have to say, so green is yes.
Yep.
Pink is no. Yellow is maybe.
Yeah.
And so the question is, will we make it through 10 years? Okay.
Come on, clinkers.
Okay, so green, yes. Pink, no. Yellow, maybe.
Okay. What is
it's
it?
It's a green.
Hey!
It's a yes.
It's a yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, 97, so happy.
Will Mr. 97 still be working with us in 1 year?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, 1 year.
Yellow.
It's maybe.
Ooh, no, I like that. At least you have an option.
Yeah.
It's up to you.
I might not have a job next year.
All right, Leah, you've got to ask yourself a question.
Can I ask... Will I have a job next year?
Green, yes.
Oh,
is that what you want?
I'm so happy about that.
Employed. Yeah, really good. Good guy, either
way. Are you employed right now?
Well, I'm a teacher who's...
So you're employed?
Well, no, I just quit I'm at home with my kids. But next year I'd like to be doing something different. I'd like to be working as a producer or presenting.
Amazing. So, I mean, so you've got rid of the job, so now it's just finding. Mm. I think it's an easy
one. And the clinker says yes.
Was it a hard decision to make, leaving?
Yes, it was, because I think
we could have just asked the clinker to be honest.
It takes a time to build a career, I think, as you would both know. Mm. So, yes, it was a bit tricky. It's been nearly 10 years. Mm. But at the same time, it's a kind of a good time to pivot, I feel. Mm. Like so many people I know who've had families have sort of reassessed in that time. So
I actually quite like a shifting career.
You want to become a cop, you were saying, if everything goes pear-shaped.
The only problem with it is I didn't pass year, I didn't pass year 11 because I didn't do year 11. But you need like a – I'd need to sit some exam to get my pass or year 12 pass to then be able to even go for a position as a cop.
Yeah.
It'd be annoying. You'd need a bit of time on your hands. And then you have to move somewhere to do your rookie. Like, remember that girl I bumped into at the airport from Shepparton? This girl.
You used to work in Shepparton, did you?
Yeah, I used to. I was up there for a couple of years. Thanks for asking. I worked up there. She did a placement. She's doing a placement now in like Pakenham or something.
Yeah.
Franger. So you'd have to move the family.
Is that the end of the world to be in Frankston? No, well, I know what you mean. It's hard to uproot your family.
Oh, 100%. Imagine if I'm like, buddy, we're going to Franger. Yeah. Actually, Frankston's lovely. It's by the water.
But that's the radio world in some ways, right? People doing that. They're going all over the place to like, you end up seeing all these random parts. Like we had Stacey June on. She was talking about, you know, ending up in random spots.
I think making decisions when you don't have too much commitment is a much easier feat, even if it's harder. It's hard. All these decisions are hard. But when you've got three kids, like logistically thinking about that.
Well, I mean, even the logistics of getting here, to be honest. Yeah. I told Mason I had to chug an energy drink and a half.
Yeah.
And what was that process? And you said it was
one?
Yeah, it was natural.
It was an organic, natural one. If they were sponsoring.
Are organic energy drinks bullshit?
Yes, yeah, here we go. I know they are. Clinker, what do
yellow,
you say?
Yellow, maybe.
Hey! Maybe. Yeah, I think it depends on the brand.
I'm still going to put my hopes on that.
And so what's the M&M's game?
Okay, so the M&M game is you pick one closing your eyes out of the bowl, and then whatever colour it is corresponds to a question that I have written on a post-it note for you.
Do you know the most traumatising thing that ever happened to me was I was at a party and they mixed M&M's and Skittles into the same bowl.
Oh, my goodness.
It's monstrous.
It's like you don't know what you're doing. Because the thing is that I always like go handful. And so it's very disturbing when you get a Skittle and an M&M.
It's the type of person that would do something like that.
I was 21.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was probably should
old enough to maybe handle it, but no judgment. judgment on that.
Old enough to have a real opinion. When you're young, you just like
exactly. You just do whatever you want. Yeah, you eat Weet-Bix for breakfast, lunches. Yeah. All right. So I'll try.
I'm going in.
Oh yeah, you try. Okay.
Got one. It's
brown.
Is that brown? Okay. Tell us about your biggest fail moment.
Biggest fail moment.
It doesn't have to be the biggest.
Yeah, it's
just funny. That's too intense.
I was thinking about. Good excuse to tell this story. I was thinking about personal fail. Not many people knew about it. It's when I shat myself. Do you want to know? Do you want to know this story?
Wow, things have taken a real turn.
So when I was 18,
I'm sorry, podcasters.
When I was 18, I was dating this girl, Rachel. I remember like early day relationships. How much are you really communicating, mate? Josh, you've been with Bree for a long time, so it probably doesn't. Very early in a relationship, how much are you talking and revealing things about yourselves and what's going on? Like sometimes you're just holding a bit more information. If this happened now to me, I'd tell her everything, right? So there's a big difference. I just wanted to set that scene. Sure.
If you were dating in 2019, say like the whole Amy thing didn't happen, but you find Amy again, do you think that you would? I didn't want to frame it as like if you got a divorce and was dating. I wanted to be like nothing, like all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
To be respectful.
I wouldn't go on Tinder.
No. What I was going to ask is, do you think...
You just volunteered that, but that wasn't the question.
Would you be more open to all those things?
To what
things? What you're talking about, like talking about...
Bowel movements?
Bowel movements.
Yes, because
the clinker said... Would you though, do you think?
I think I'm past a lot of the insecurities I had. Like, for instance, on the night that this happened... I had a big cold sore and I had to go to my one of my best mates' 18th birthday, which was on a party boat.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm feeling a bit insecure about my cold sore, had a complex about it, and I was going with this girlfriend of mine. And before the boat, because everyone was drinking prior to going on, I needed to take a piss. So I went behind these bushes and taking a piss, and I sneezed as I was pissing.
Oh my god!
And what happens is it's all a bit loose. Like you've already you've opened one
Leah
door.
Leah can't share this to her.
You've opened one door. And you're peeing, which has just relaxed everything down there. And all of a sudden, I chat myself.
Oh.
And I'm thinking.
Things escalated so quickly.
And
you
weren't even on the boat at this point.
Wasn't even on the boat. What do
what's
I do?
The cold sore though, got, well, I mean, the question is, what's the cold sore got to do with anything?
My just, point of just feeling like eyes were on me. Okay, when you have a cold sore, it feels like low. You're an alien and everyone's like.
And now you've shit your pants. So now you've got a cold sore and you've shit your pants.
You're that guy.
Mate, it was bad.
And so I thought, okay, here's my plan. I can't tell my, like, I'd tell Amy now, I'd be like, babe, I've shat myself. I'd get a second opinion.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So I went onto the boat, fucking made a beeline for the boat, went to the toilet. The toilet was situated across from the bar within 1 meter. Mm. So it's a very tight boat. The door to the toilet had a little gap underneath it, right? And so I went into the toilet, tiny, it's like you're on a plane. There was a cabin hole open. There was a cabin hole open that I looked out there just because I was curious, and you could, it's just out to water right there. So it wasn't out to a deck or anything.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, fuck. All right, I've got to, for some reason I didn't think to take my underwear off and just do something with them, throw them out the window. Mm-hmm. So what I-
How bad was it?
It was pretty bad.
It was a code brown.
Mate, it was very-
Code brown M&M.
It was code brown. And so what I ended up doing was just wiping whatever off to clean them, to think, okay, I'll layer it with toilet paper so I can pull my pants back up. It didn't smell that great.
That's
in the bathroom.
I've not gotten rid of the sauce, the smell.
The sauce.
I used a lot of toilet paper.
Sauce holder. Yes.
So here I am, cold sore, feeling anxious about it, stinking.
How old were you here?
18. And I put toilet paper into the
toilet.
Could
you imagine doing this, Mason? That's your age. Yeah,
I pressed the button. And the toilet starts overflowing.
Uh-huh.
So it is literally just filled and clogged, and the water's coming up. Water starts pouring out over the top of the bowl, going out under the door. And it was only a small bit of water at this moment. What do you do? What do you do at that point?
Oh, my gosh.
You've already shat yourself, so you can't shat yourself again.
I don't know if I would have gotten on the boat after I...
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten.
I fucked up,
Go
boys.
For a swim, girls.
Go for a swim.
Go for a swim.
Mate, wash it off.
Here's what I did. Roll my sleeve up, put my hand into the toilet bowl.
Oh, my God.
Pulled out the toilet paper, and I was like, what do I do with this? I threw it out the porthole into the water, and the toilet thankfully went down. It was just a reaction. I was like, oh, no. And then I'm left with my hands.
What happens to your confidence?
Oh, I'm flat as fuck.
Do you reckon they know?
Oh, I don't know.
But if you, like, if you've done something like that, even if, like, sometimes you feel like your breath smells or whatever, and then you sort of, you're not as confident in your talking. Or a little
At the moment, I'm about to open the door to go out to face the crowd of people that I think are waiting for me, which that's how you think. You're everyone's going to be fucking looking at me.
Although, in fairness, with how long it would have taken for this whole schmozzle to unfold, maybe there was a line at the toilet.
No, it was pretty quick.
I opened the door that you were there.
No one was there, but I think that's like a massive fail.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a massive fail because I probably could have fixed the problem in hindsight. Like, people have given me the advice, you should have just gone into the bushes, taken your underwear off and jumped on the boat.
Yes.
I've never, ever, the closest thing I've been to not having undies on is like going from like my apartment to like the bin room to put the bins out. Like, I don't like the idea of not wearing undies.
You want support all the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, fair enough. But I get that.
But so that was a bit of a fail.
Okay. Can someone else take an M&M?
Do you want to have a go, Leah?
Okay.
Close your eyes.
Oh, sorry.
Blue. All right. Blue is, tell us about a time where you shit your pants. That's very specific. Tell us about a time you had to be brave.
Oh, okay.
I feel like
listening to that story.
Yeah, I feel like any of these things could have led to the pants. I think he wanted to tell us a story.
I had a story in mind.
Tell us something about yesterday. I was thinking yesterday about this story.
Yeah. Okay.
So can I pick a different colour?
No, you got to be brave. No, this is the whole point.
When have you been brave?
All right. Let's see. Okay, this is a bit heavy though. Is it all right?
I just did a shit my pants story. So yeah, rather you go a bit more brave. I'm going to put this whole thing in my mouth. Just
go for it.
Oh, great, bunny.
That's one the for bunny me cupcake well? Down. Yeah, there's great, three. One for Mason.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Go ahead. Okay, so I've got three kids. When I had the first one, it was. you know, birth was an unknown territory to me. And yeah, you just don't know what to expect. And I'm one of those people who's like, you know, I don't know, do you call it tin ass? Where you're like, I'll be right, you know, and it all works out for you in the end. Yeah, that's, we've got a friend called Richard. Hi, Richard, yeah. If you're listening. And he's like tin ass because, like, he doesn't necessarily prepare stuff, but it always
tin?
Works out.
Tin, like
tin, T-I-N,
tin
ass.
Tin ass.
Yeah. Ass. Yeah. Tin ass. Anyway.
Can you look up what it actually means?
Does he mean tinnitus? So got tinnitus?
No, that's different. Okay. Like, I'm from the West, so maybe we have different.
Is that like, as in really your ass is made of tin?
Well, Mr. 97's got the explanation.
Someone who achieves a feat of skill through nothing but luck.
Yes. So that's why I was hoping to tin ass my birth. There's a there's an example in the sentence. Yes. But anyway, you know, things go this way, things go that way.
Amazing.
What a vivid picture I'm painting. But I think I had to be brave because at the end it sort of happened that I had to be taken away for extra surgery. Things had happened that weren't like supposed to happen. And my husband was standing there with our little baby and I was going off on this, you know, what do you call it? It's not a tray, but like, you know, being pushed away. Trolley. I was being pushed away in a trolley. And you
medical
know
bed.
Yes. And when your body's in shock and it's just like jittering on the table so much. Like I was like jumping off the table with shock jitters. And I think in that moment, I remember just saying to myself, like, you have to be brave in this moment. Like you're going to be, like, you know, that self-talk had to really kick in. You're going to be okay. Your baby's fine. You'll be fine. You know, all those things. And you can't take anyone with you. You
was
just have to
first?
Go. This was the first child. Oh, and after that,
can't
I decided
you went
not
back
to tin ass anymore.
You went back for two more.
I know,
more.
I went for two more. But yeah, so in that, I just remember in that moment being like, don't, you can't be a sook. You can't be like, I want someone to be with me while I go to this surgery. Like I just couldn't do that. I had to be brave. So
what was the learning?
I don't know exactly what the learning was. Maybe that things can go a variety of ways. Mm-hmm. And also maybe that, like, because my husband hadn't really prepared either and just seeing him be scared in that moment was scary.
Well, how do you prepare
I know, but like I feel like YouTube is full of clips and maybe you should confront yourself with some of those videos. I don't know. Like I'm not sure.
It feels like everyone who listens to our show is going to be listening because we've mentioned that, we've already suggested that on the show this week with Stacey June.
Oh, sorry, I should
about
listen to that.
No, like watching YouTube videos of pregnancy, like of births.
Hang on. How can you be prepared for seeing a doctor with a pair of scissors cut your wife's vagina?
Yeah.
That's what I saw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How the fuck?
it's a hard moment.
It's a surreal fucking moment where I'm just
it's
looking.
It's hard when you're cut just as well. Yeah. She won't put that out there.
She's up there just fucking, oh, man.
Yeah. It's very confronting.
You're brave.
Women are brave. I guess you are shown your own resilience and resourcefulness in those moments that you can get through it.
Do you need, if they're going to do that cut, are they pain meds? There's pain meds. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Does anyone with a natural birth get cut like that or no?
I think they'd intervene. I think it'd be inhumane to be doing that without painkillers. Yeah,
I think they do. They give you some kind of jab. But I think also at that point you're in so much adrenaline.
Yeah, exactly. You can get away with it.
They could cut anything off.
Oh, no, sorry, Josh. Like if you've had an epidural, like there's not much feeling at all down there. Yeah, sure. Did you ever have an epidural?
Yeah, I did for the first time.
I've had an epidural.
Have you?
Yeah, for my back because I've got two herniated discs.
His vagina wasn't cut though.
No, exactly. No, but they yeah,
poor Mason over there. There's so many tears in his eyes.
97's just like,
okay, let's do a question for Mr. 97. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'll pick his thing and throw it at him.
Okay.
Isn't that nice for you, Mason?
Catch. Oh. It was green. It was green.
It's tell us something about yesterday.
What happened yesterday?
It has to be
something
good story.
Interesting about yesterday.
Yeah, it can't just be had a smoothie.
Well, no, I was doing this edit that I was really excited about at the start, and then I sort of spent like an hour on it, and then I got to the end of it, and I was like, I was really really disappointed with it. Mm-hmm. Like it was.
Are we allowed to know the
this
edit?
This is the video you're doing for Gemma's birthday.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he sent it to me. He said,
"How can I fix it?"
No, he's like, "How do you fix it?" I said, "No, you can post it." I said, "Just make it clear that you did it." Which is like, because that was my
environment.
That's the response that tipped me over as well.
Oh, really? I said, "Put some music on it first." And then, well, the first bit in the video was me talking about scrotums or whatever. And she's like, oh, I don't have one of those. I was just like, bury the lead. I mean, it doesn't like, for people with context, not really building the context.
Yeah. Does, in video world, does music cover a multitude of sins?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can, yeah. I mean, it changes the tone. Yeah, definitely.
So I've had some fun. Like, it's fun to cut like something really lighthearted to serious, like cinematic music.
Mm. Yes.
It's fun. Like it changes the vibe of everything.
But if you can do an edit that isn't reliant on music and then put it in, you can really enhance it. Like if you're just focusing on the best bits and it plays out,
But in saying that, I've been so down. I've been so down on edits based on where they've been, and then I've shifted it and just moved a few things around, and it's great.
Yeah.
And so this is subjective. The what you feel is amazing versus what other people feel. It's like maybe the scrotum thing was a bit like.
Could we take the scrotum part and put "You raise me" like some kind of like inspirational? Maybe not "You raise me." I'm actually with scrotum talk. I don't know.
I mean,
bad choice, but you know what I mean. Yeah. Like some inspirational.
Send it over to her. Like you could. It could have been a funny one. She would appreciate a text message with that in it.
But I think I think what you did was good. Yeah, it's always interesting. How do you select our snippets? What filters are you using?
I'll answer that.
Oh.
Yes.
No.
What depends? There's probably two different snippets. There are like funny ones, and then there are ones that celebrate them or the guest or the person and make them look great. Mm-hmm. So that's a filter.
Sure.
And then it's also his filter. Like what he thinks is good for a viewer and is funny is different from what we would pick.
Well, that's what
it's so interesting.
Like,
so that's why you just, it's having a crack.
Yeah. That's why I don't micromanage it, because I don't think that, like, I've got an opinion, but it's not necessarily right. Mm-hmm. And so it's good getting.
And when you are choosing the snippets, do you have in mind like your loyal base, or do you have in mind, oh, this could be something that someone sees and they love it and then that gets them into the show?
I mean, it's probably a bit of both. There's a thought of just like, oh, this is great. People will love this. But I mean, I probably, the idea of like celebrating the guests is probably more of a forethought than is this going to be the best snippet?
Because if you celebrate the guests, then it's going to potentially onboard new people.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
And also, I think that there's a safety in celebrating the guests, because the other thing is you can easily fall into the trap of if you're not considering that, having too much of us talking, and it sort of gets lost. So I think that's a good filter.
Yeah, you're doing a good job.
Now, can I have an M&M? Because I haven't had one yet.
Go for it.
It's a brown.
What was that?
That's the biggest fail.
Tell us about your biggest.
Do you want to pick a different question?
No,
I answered it.
He doesn't want to break the rules.
No, I don't
want two of them though.
You could, yeah.
You don't want to hear my. I'm trying to think of the best fail. Oh, yeah. Well, one that I like is talking about is when I was working at the fire brigade in the media department, and it was, I think it was Carrum Downs or something. I went to like one of their training places, and it was like wherever it was, it was like over an hour's drive. And I packed all the gear up and I drove to the location. I was like a trainee or whatever.
What were you listening producer. To? Podcast in the car? What?
Nah, it would have been like radio, because I had like my Ford Laser, which would have been like a 1997 Ford Laser or whatever. So it didn't have sort of the connectivity.
Tape into the Discman.
And I never did the tape the
you had a CD
phone
player.
Or whatever. Nah, it was very much radio. But anyway, so I got there. I was really proud of myself because I went up to the main trainer and was explaining, hey, I'm here to film this or sort of thing. Really sort of briefed him in on like, this is how it's going to go. This is what I'm going to do. And so I said, now next I'm just going to go to the car and set up and I'll, and then we can go. And I went and opened the camera bag and I'd forgotten to put the camera in the bag.
Oh. What's so the panic? What was the feeling?
I was like, oh no, it did feel light. No, I was like, it did feel light. The bag felt light when I picked it up.
You thought that.
And so I was like, I feel like that happens with laptops and stuff sometimes. Yeah. You know, like your backpack, you grab it and then it's like you have the moment of, did I put my – but you get used to whatever the weight of your bag is.
It's not a mistake you make again after doing that.
Yeah, and so that was a fact. And so I had to call. But the great thing was –
Hang on. So what did you do?
What did I do?
Did you tell them?
I told them.
Oh, yeah, you told them. Okay.
I wasn't just going to be like, pretend like no camera. No, I – 3 hours set up, you drive back.
Charades.
The good thing was I remember I was – even though I was an intern there, I was quite overqualified, and so I'd always prided myself on being the just like everyone else, like the media producer. And so it was the one moment where I like really lent into the fact that I was an intern. So I was just like, I called up my boss, who I used to have these talks to him. Like I felt like I was like 20 years old. I was a little bit obnoxious, and so I would like have these conversations with my boss of like, Michael, you know, you don't seem happy in this role. You know, why are you, you know, if you are, you know, he would, my favourite thing about him was he'd print every email he'd ever get and he put them in folders.
Absolute animal. Bless. Knocking and down so, forests left, right, yeah, centre.
And so when I arrived in the department, he'd just received a 6-month audit of how the department was going and it wasn't good. And so his days were spent going through this document with pen, doing rebuttals for the whole thing. And he was preparing this whole thing. And I remember saying, I'm like, look, I think like your wife would support you if you like left the word. So anyway, I called.
Is he indulging you? Yeah. Or is I don't know.
Josh is good. He can find the emotional into somebody.
Know. And so I said, but then I called Michael. I'm like, mate, like I've made a big mistake here. I'm only an intern. It's a big learning.
A classic intern.
Exactly. I'm like, you know, this is a learning. I mean, this is, I guess, this is what happens when you like intern wages. You know, I was thinking like an intern. I've done an intern thing. And he was like, yeah, cool. And he was fine with it.
Yeah.
Because he was like stressing out about responding to the audit.
And what
I probably should have changed his name. But that's
what did you need to shoot?
I ended up going back another day to film and it was like, it's very cool. It's like two awesome projects I worked on at the MFB. One of them was the high angle rescue team training. So I filmed on the top of the Sofitel, them abseiling down or whatever, which is cool, like on the top of the roof. That
so
was
you
fun.
Were on top of
Yeah,
you,
I was on the top yeah, of the roof yeah. filming. So that was cool. We also did-
Don't mistake him with the guy who's actually going down the side of the building.
Hero, exactly. Hero. Yeah.
Fire person yeah. going down the side.
Yeah. I was
person.
Like, guys, surely I need a harness. I'm like, you're fine. But the other one was DP World, which is like the big cranes and stuff for the shipping containers or whatever. Like
yeah, over your way, they Bodie calls them giraffes. Like they look like huge giraffes
over the West Gate.
You know,
oh, your okay. way. Well, I don't know everything that happens over the West Gate, but
just open your eyes, look left or right. So okay, when you look, right. they're like
Melbourne
look,
and stuff.
Seems easy enough.
When, yeah, they look like in the distance these big giraffes.
Oh, okay.
And they pick up and they send down and
oh, yeah.
pick up
I've
the
seen
big.
That.
Yeah, you would definitely
yeah,
would
yeah,
see.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But they but yeah, so there was that. But then the training. When I went back, it was stressful because they it was an old like sewage plant, and so they had gutted out the these big concrete containers that housed shit in them, and they would run
literal
their,
shit, yeah. yeah.
And they would do training stuff, and what they would do was I was filming, and they had hay in the middle of this big concrete dome. With hardly any light, there's probably like 20 recruits or whatever all there, and they light the hay and we watched the smoke slowly move. They were showing how smoke reacts within a space and they were like doing things where you'd feel the temperature of the smoke. So as it was there, there's a huge heat difference between being here and there. But the crazy bit was as I'm filming this, I'm looking around and everyone's wearing a mask, but I wasn't wearing a mask. And so I was just like, should I be wearing a mask?
Yeah.
But I'm like, no one's saying anything. And so I was just like kept dipping down and down. And so there was a point where it's like I'm on the ground filming and then I got out. But that was fun.
Was that your last day? That was
no.
How did you quit that job? What was
I always go out with a bang. Yeah. It's sort of a bit of a mantra. You know?
Okay.
And the MFB, they know how to water out a burnt bridge. But the way I exited was I got this great opportunity to be an assistant editor on a feature film, and it was I needed my annual leave. It was like a 12-month contract that I was on, and they told me keep your annual leave near the end of your contract, because what most interns will do is they will take it at the end as a way of sort of transitioning on to another role. And so I was 10 months in and I was like, hey, can I just got this opportunity where they're like, hey, we'll pay you full time to work on this thing. And so I went to my boss and I was like, hey, I've just had this great opportunity. And he's like, nah, sorry, we need you. And so I like cracked it and went above him to the manager who was managing that whole audit and said, hey, he's saying that he's not going to give me my certificate if I don't do it. And then so that boss, his boss then went to him and said, hey, Josh can do this thing. And then that ended up, that guy had a meltdown and then he took sick leave. And so I did. So that was how we ended up sort of finishing up. But I mean,
you ratted on the guy.
Yeah, well,
he was already struggling. Yeah, he was already struggling. Alongside.
But I was like, mentor. Yeah, but
you were mentoring
my mentee. And so anyway, I mean, yeah, so I was a little asshole, but I think there was, it's a bit 50-50. I think you had this like extremely dysfunctional sort of setting. Mm. It was sort of hilarious. You had this like office where there's literally like four people and they were doing production. They were basically doing a weekly TV show just for fireys, right? And so all the fire stations had fiber optic cable and so they could live stream the show and they would have people from Channel 9 who would actually do the footy show, like the cameras, who would come in on this day and would film.
Host it.
But the thing is that because of the unions and the management, they all hated each other and so it was really hard. So no one would watch the show because it was all like management propaganda. And so it was called Fire Vision. I think it still exists. There were some lovely people that worked there as well.
I wonder if there's
disclaimer.
I wonder if there's any clips online of it. I feel like that years later would be really interesting. Like think about all the content that would have been made early days that's now. So there's cycles, right?
Like the archival stuff. So there was a great guy who was a historian, like a real old dude. I remember I got a great photo of him and he would just go through all the old tapes and was really into history. But it was actually it was in North Fitzroy and they've actually knocked all them down. That was a place that Derek thought that there was like asbestos issues because they had all the sprinklers on all the time so that the dust would stay settled. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Can I ask about, I don't know if this is a loaded question, but
there's no asbestos in this building.
Is there a little bit of a vindictive streak within you? I'm noticing this theme that's coming up, like this person did this, so I bought their domain name. How many domain names do you have spite?
Not that many anymore. But definitely. No, I think that like I grew up a little bit as like this, not outsider, but I was like different. And so when you're different, you either can lean into it. And I leaned into it.
Now.
Yeah. I think that it's sort of like I leant into it or whatever. But when you're a kid and you're doing this, sort of, like I was friends with all the teachers. I had great relationships. But it was so easy for me being in the staff room to also have enemies as teachers as well. So you have everything because they're like, why is Josh? I just want to have my lunch in peace. And Josh Jansen's in the corner.
We've got insight from a teacher. What behavior wouldn't fly these days? Like how close are people with their students? Like how teachers with their students?
I don't know. I think relationship is essential to be able to, like, I think it's so linked to behavior. So being able to get the best, because I'm a primary school teacher and sort of in my later years, I've specialized in welfare. So I've been working with kids who struggle to sort of fit into what the group plan is within their classroom, whether it's because of disability, whether it's because they're gifted or behavioral issues or whatever. But every single case, it's about relationship and trying to find that connection point with that kid, whatever it is. So
at what point do you have them in the staff room?
Well, yeah, you can't really have them in the staff room.
there's definitely we got to look after Josh because he's...
You know, you would totally be the kid that I would have with me on yard duty all the time, having a chat.
He's a good one. But what are you thinking about that kid? Like what's the observation, not a judgment on them, but observation from the teacher's perspective of...
Is it a friendship?
We've got to look up.
How do you want to know if it was a real friendship?
Annette, my favourite teacher.
My best friend.
Yeah, no, like she's still like she likes my stuff on Instagram.
She's got half a friendship bracelet. Yeah, got
exactly.
Other.
Exactly. No, I remember when I was robbed of school captaincy, and I ended up getting school captain in year 12.
Okay. But when I was, you bought the domain name and made a complaint.
Exactly. Yeah. But when I was in year 10, so year 7 to 10, I was at one school, and then you go on to the senior college for year 11 and year 12, and so year 10 they have school captains. And I was the youngest ever SRC president in year 8. So I was only in the school for a year before I took that. That was normally a role for a year 10 student. Mm-hmm. And so I was
very impressive.
Yeah, thank you. So I was SRC.
Does it count if year 10 students didn't apply?
No, well, they did. So the thing is, because my whole thing was I'm like, yeah, you can get a year 10 student, but they're going to be out next year. I can actually build this thing. Hashtag 10 years. Let's do 10 years of the show.
Yeah. No, I think teachers would look at you and be really like find you endearing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you'd be the kid with the clipboard who's like telling them, oh, if you just look over there, Scott has been in the inappropriate area. I've taken the liberty of writing a note about that for you.
But we're also adults are also
human.
Yeah. And they're like, this kid's fucked.
No.
No, but there's a bit. Because the thing was that, no, but just to finish off the captaincy thing. And so in year 10, I applied for school captain to be fair, I was also on the committee year 8 and year 9 helping to decide who was going to be school captain. As an SRC president, I was one of 6 votes to determine who was. I would have plastic pockets on every single person who would apply. And I would like, and there was one guy, I remember Ben Dwan, he loved doing quotes. And he was like, I was very impressed with just highlighting, just like, look, all the quotes that have like a famous people. He says, like, you know, if I'm school captain, I would do as, you know, and then certain things. So anyway, in year 10, I applied. And there was talk of like no one else was applying. And the vice principal went to a student and said, why haven't you applied for school captaincy? And he said, Josh Jansen, we know that Josh Jansen's going to get it anyway. And she said, I think you should really apply. Now, she was on the committee. And sure enough, he got school captain. And it was.
Did she ever be in her bonnet about you?
Well, she was the one. It was one of those ones where it was like an interesting relationship. She was my employer because I worked at the school as well on school holidays.
Oh my gosh.
But also, she was the one that gave me, I had a conversation in year 9 where I said I was doing a Channel 31 show that I was editing and I was doing 30 hours a week. And so every time I'd get home from school and the producer from Channel 31 would be sitting on my doorstep with tapes and I would go home to capture them and all that sort of thing. And I wasn't doing any homework. And she said, Josh, you know, this is happening from all directions. All the teachers saying you're not doing your homework. And I said, look, Adele, I probably should mask names.
No, that's good.
It's all good.
They sound like
I haven't said her last name. Adele, I've got a full-time job outside of here. Like, I'm working 30 hours a week. And she said, if you cut down, what would it take for you to cut down your hours? And I said, look, Adele, if I was to cut down my hours, I don't have a job anymore. It's either all or nothing.
You know how this works, Adele.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, work with me here.
Exactly. And she's like, yeah, what about 15 hours? I'm like, I don't think it's going to work. And I said, how about this? I said, with my SRC presidency and all that sort of thing, it's a lot of work. German is a complete waste of time for me. I've got no interest in working, living, or doing business with Germany.
And he was talking in German at this point.
Exactly. And we just had the blow up with the ex-Steiner school teacher who we zapped with a pen. And so we had a coordinator come in saying, she could have died because we used one of those trick pens.
Okay. And this is good context.
Yeah. So there was
a perfect storm.
Yeah, exactly. So it was tension. And so I said, look, you take Lote off the plate. We free that up. I'll then quit this role. But then it gives me time to do admin amongst all those sort of things. So she agreed. So I have a feeling that by making that agreement and being a strong negotiator, there was 2 things that happened. I think that she didn't want me to be school captain. Fine, whatever. But also.
Yeah, because she knows the Führer that you are.
But also the other bit was.
You're more German than you think.
I'm Dutch. different. But the bit I think the main thing, and this is what Annette, my teacher/friend said, is, let's be honest, they know that whether you're vice captain or school captain, you can do all the work anyway. I said, Annette, you're fucking right. And so I did vice, and I held up the whole thing. I wrote all the things. I did it all. I was like, and then in year 12, I got school captain.
And that's how losing is winning.
Exactly.
I think it's amazing how you've been a hustler from the start. Obviously, all of that has led you to this point, which is pretty cool. But I think you would have been a bloody annoying kid.
Definitely. And I, there was also very, very quickly the one time where I filmed Variety Night and spent money on hiring 2 cameras and all that sort of thing. And I put them up. This was 2005. I put them up on YouTube. YouTube had only just started. And the principal had found out that I'd put them online.
Did they know that you were filming? Obviously.
Yeah, they knew they were filming, but they just never imagined that it could go online, right? Mm. And so I uploaded them all, and the principal was away on a conference, and the coordinator came in and said, Josh, you're going to have to take them down. I'm like, why? They're like, you don't have permission. And so I contacted an organization called Arts Law Australia, spoke to a lawyer, and they said, look, if you get release forms from all the kids, you'll be fine. And so I went and got release forms and got them, their parents and guardians, to sign it all, brought them back. On the Monday, the principal calls me and said, Josh, you haven't taken it down. It's getting serious now. And I said, Sue, I've been speaking to my lawyers. I handed over the release forms. I'm like, they're not going down.
Is it still up?
Yeah. Yeah, so I think I took some of them down.
You're
just because they're not very
work,
on.
Aren't you?
Yeah, they're not on brand. But anyway.
It's a real cartoon character.
It's good fun. But it's like, it makes
it's
things.
It's life.
Yeah, it makes things fun.
I think it is interesting.
But I loved the teachers as well. There was heaps of teachers that
even
were
if
like.
They didn't love you.
Like I had really solid, great relationships. I think that also I probably played perfectly into the politics of the school because I had the teachers I liked and the teachers I didn't like. And it all sort of worked out quite well that the teachers that I liked didn't like those ones. So it was a perfect job.
Okay, if you're looking at them as games, you're playing the game of the teachers, which the game that you're actually in
or
is.
Or they playing my game.
Yeah, they're probably
sociopath.
Yeah, maybe. But then the kids' game, like your peers' game, is hard. You know,
did you
pull back from that?
Well, I was saying this the other day. I had friends based on I would do all the filming, and so the thing is, if you want to be in the video, you've got to be like at least nice to me. And so I'd go around. Like, so I was actually. At least
is that the same?
The whole
friend?
School was being manipulated into
it was a bit
something.
This is like I think this is a really good opportunity for some kind of show, like a story, a narrative about this kid who controls the whole school. Mm. Like this, you know, that is a good content idea.
I was thinking that I think we had this idea about a year ago, TJ, that we go back to our old school. There's a bit of narcissism
for me. It'd just be for you because I don't have that. Mm. I don't know where I go. So, like, you burn bridges when you're leaving the schools. Like, there's nothing to. You don't really have relationships.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know who to speak to.
Yeah, it would be fun to get some of these teachers because I think about the amount of conversations that I had with these teachers, and I was even like, I get such a kick out of seeing the emails that I would send the teacher after finishing school, just like giving him updates, like on all the students as well. Being like, saw Tom, you know, the other day at the shopping center. Exactly what you would expect. that sort of deal.
Are you a firstborn child?
No, last. I'm the youngest.
Of how many kids?
Three.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because I was thinking this is classic firstborn behavior, you know, like that wanting to be sort of one of the adults, part of the group.
Oh, no, I was so... Every single time we would have a like a family sort of event, Mum would always lecture me when we'd get in the car about because I'd always hang with the adults. Mm-hmm. But then I would infuriate her even more because as we'd leave, I'd say, "All right, I'm off to get lectured by Mum about how annoying I've been today," which would really get
to, yeah.
But then the other thing too is
endearing.
I also liked adult food, so I would be eating all the expensive, like, you know, dips and stuff. And Mum, I remember she'd be like, "Josh," around the dips. And she'd say, "It's not called scoop." Because I would, rather than dip the chip, I would scoop. With a single corn chip, I could finish nearly a whole thing of dip, of olive dip.
Any of Josh's teachers on the live stream?
Yeah. Nah, Gemma joined
Adele.
And she said, "Hello, friends."
Hey, Gem.
3D Dill joined.
G'day, 3D Dill.
And so did Molly from New Zealand.
Oh, g'day, Molly from New Zealand.
Across the ditch.
There we go. Well, we ended
Friday.
Up.
Yeah.
We very cathartic. There is something about going, I know it's not good for you guys because you just have to listen. Which is that sociopath in me, but I think it's fun.
No, the teachers are all in therapy as well, getting through this, finding their way out.
Do you have a nice moment, like what do you, because when Leo, like finishing up at the school, were there relationships that you'd created with the kids that you were, you know, sad to let go of?
Yeah, I think you always care. That's the thing. And it's funny because sometimes on Facebook randomly a kid who I taught a while ago will try and friend me on Facebook. Yeah. But
absolutely
I have
this, not.
Yeah, exactly. I feel bad, but I'm just like, I just don't know. Even though it's been like, you know, maybe 5 years or 8 years, I'm just like, I'm not sure. Mm. But you do care. You always care. And you always remember about certain things. And yeah, I think if you've lived in that school community, there is something magic about it. Mm. And, you
it's
know,
a just bubble.
The fact that everyone knows everyone and there's that, you know, I think there's power in that routine and the beautiful community. Mm. It's really lovely. And now that I say it, I'm like, why did I leave? No, but yes.
Did you have a consistent class or because you were doing the welfare stuff, you didn't have
I had classes in my earlier years.
A home group?
Yes, I had like taught grade two for a while, grade three, grade six, those kind of things. And then moving on, I started doing like behavior and social intervention. So it's like, you're struggling in the playground, Josh. Yeah. You don't seem to have any friends. So what can we do? What kind of things can we do
and
to
help you? And the teachers are wanting you out of the staff room.
But did they actually say, would you be as direct as that with the kid?
No, no, no. It'd be, they'd be having different social issues and then you'd have a chance to, you know, get alongside them and make a plan for them as to how they're going to work. There were some kids who you'd do like a plan for play because when they went outside, it would just be like they'd fight with everyone or they couldn't deal with the sort of unstructuredness of the yard. So you'd go, okay, let's make a plan for play for you. What are you going to do first? And who are you going to do it
with? The clinker game.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. And then if that goes wrong, what's your plan B? And just working out all of those kind of just the
Do you know what Josh would have said to you?
Skills.
There's no plan B. Exactly. He would have said that shit. Yeah,
plan B is
I've listened
losers.
To Tim Ferriss. There's no plan B.
No, it's interesting.
Peter Thiel told me.
The what's school canteens like in 2019?
Well, the one of the schools that I was working at, it was all parent generated. So there was parents who would be getting their, what do you call it, like Cert 3, Cert 4 in food prep. Yeah. And they'd actually be cooking meals for lunchtime that the kids could.
What sort?
They were doing, they had like a spag bowl and they'd use the community garden that we had to make you know. So
what's
in it
for them?
Education.
Are they making money?
Well,
they're getting a qualification. The parents.
The parents.
Yeah, yeah. They get a qualification. It's about upskilling the community. Yeah.
I mean.
I love that
idea. Yeah, I get it, but like the new world we're in is pretty hard for a lot of people. So who the fuck has time to be a part of those canteen? Is it like a give back thing? Like
there'd be grandparents who are doing it. There'd be parents whose kids are at school and they're sort of like between 9 and 3, you know, they've still got little kids and they still want to be a part of that. So yeah, I'm about to be a school parent next year actually. So I'm on the other side of it. Mm. And that's interesting as well. I felt like the other day I dropped my son off for like practice prep, you know, like when they practice the whole thing. And I was looking around at the other parents feeling like I'm a school kid again, like who's going to be my friend? And I can tell you're the popular one because you're a mum who's dressed in like really nice clothes. Like you're wearing.
You have to play that.
I'm like
the parents.
Oh no. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think there's a lot of anxieties around like the talk about school and shit. The biggest problem for me was seeing how I can transition out of this thing that is like, it's every day. It's such a structure. Then what's my other option? Like, and that's why I think kids struggle the transition out of school for 13 years in Australia, prep to 12, and then finding some kind of, like, what's the other option? The ease in is uni because it's some kind of structure. But if you go straight out of that, it's pretty tough.
How did you find the transition, Mace? You're the most recently transitioned of the three of us.
Yeah.
Four of us.
Yeah, you do sort of like, it's a struggle to fill your time with stuff because it's just like everything, you've got no idea what to do. It's just all in front of you and it's just so overwhelming. But I think having some sort of work helps so much because that brings back all the structure that you need. Mm. So I think that was probably the biggest thing, yeah.
It's like unlearning and then new learning.
There's so much power in having somewhere to be, isn't there? Mm. I feel like I've learned that over time.
Well,
like
you got here today.
That's what I did by the skin drinks. Of my little teeth. I got here.
But I also, like, I reckon I made school completely different to what any other, like, my experience.
Or you were surviving.
Yeah, but so I was surviving based
on controlling your environment.
Yeah. Like, the thing was, like, I probably only went to 50% of my classes. And I feel like normally, like, if you didn't go to 50% of classes, which you probably didn't, you would have been getting in a bunch of trouble. For me, I was like, I'm getting a letter from the drama teacher to say that Josh needs to do extra time with the production, but then I'm also reaching out to the SRC. So I'd have like 6 notes from all the different teachers and they weren't all talking. Yeah. And so before you know it, you're only going to the classes that you want to go to.
Well, I think as a parent, it's also
much in that.
How do you, there's a worry about what is your kid going to be like? Mm-hmm. If you had a kid, what are they like at school? Do they find the resilience in that way or the approach?
Yeah, I don't think I'm not planning on having kids, but if I was to have a kid, I think that it would be, I think like the whole Steiner thing, like I think I just want to do it, allow for different thinking. However, I would also want to make sure that it wasn't in something that was too status driven from an education point of view. So I wouldn't want to put them in a position where they're I want them to be mixing with all different types of people. And I guess that the hard thing is, it seems unfortunately like there is a gap between quality, or not even quality of education. I think like if you want a standard education in the current system, that's fairly equal. But where it gets different is if I was to take a kid to a different type of school, I would say that you're getting a certain type of parent who's bringing their kids there, which sort of creates a different world.
Yeah, there's so much to consider in all of that, isn't there? Mm. We sort of have, my husband and I had this discussion about all of that. He's really concerned about, if you go to a place that's completely privileged, how much do your kids then understand and learn about all the different, you know, facets of people in society and all those things. Anyway, I don't know if that's right or wrong, but we have made this decision to kind of go local primary school for primary school and then for high school to sort of gauge where the three are at and choose different, like, you know, like schools for them, you know, like if someone's really excelling at music, to try and hopefully have the funds to be able to support that, like to choose the different paths for high school. That's sort of where we're at. But who knows? I mean, there's so much to consider. At the moment, it's just focusing on fitting in at prep.
Almost, there's something in
getting your outfit on fleek.
Not more for me fitting in. Yeah, that's right.
I think there's also something in having the ability to do extracurricular activities, like not being so stretched in regards to a family of spending so much money on school fees.
To be honest, it gives me anxiety thinking about this shit. Like I'm not there yet, and it's like I can't even put myself in the place there. Like it gives me a bad feeling.
But I guess the thing is, do you need cash to have a really great, fulfilling life? I don't think the answer is no. And so like the best thing I think my parents did for me while I went to, you know, a school that was considered like a low socioeconomic school or whatever, we had great facilities and things. But then in the final year 11 and year 12, they paid for me to do like VCA, film and TV foundations outside of school. And I was able to actually like, it was almost that stepping stone. So when I left school, I could straight away go in and do the thing I want. And so I guess that's almost like, is it like an exchange program? Like those things I think are super exciting.
Well, if the kid likes that, because you could have a kid that likes structure and sport and just going to school. Like some kids don't, like if I parented Bodhi exactly how I am, I haven't accounted for who he is.
Well, you got to listen. Yeah, you got to see. Do you think he's the structured type?
I don't know yet. He's so young.
Do you just provide different chances and opportunities and see what sticks? Like that's kind of what we're doing at the moment. Yeah, oldest is doing like junior life saving and he's like a little bit like, well, I don't know if I want to do this. And then it's like, that's okay. Like, let's just try it. It's just a chance really to be a part of the community and learn about water, you know, like those kind of things. But I'm not going to push it if he's like, this is ruining my life.
Is there anything that you guys look at and say, I wish that I did this as a kid? I wish my parents had done, there was one thing.
Yeah, I wish that they that I'd done like music, like keys and guitar, because I grew up sort of doing singing lessons, but I feel like what is the point if you can't accompany yourself? So I definitely, you know, that's and it's a good discipline thing as well, I think.
I wish mum and dad invested in a holiday house. Because we would have been down there this weekend, boys.
What about you, Josh?
No, I think that's, it was interesting. When I was in prep, I was really keen to learn guitar. And they said
prep.
I was,
You can actually remember that shit?
Yeah. And so like Mr. Dance and my teacher would play guitar and my parents had a guitar that was my brother's, but they said that my hands weren't big enough to do it.
You're six. You're five. Yeah.
And so they said.
They were sliding toe thumb, were they?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't hate on toe thumb.
I know.
And mate, so you can play the bass because you can slap the shit out of it.
And so a heavy bass, real big bass. But no, they then said, no, you can't do that, but do piano instead. You can do that at a younger age. And I fucking hated it. And I was like, it was annoying because it was like, they're like, oh no, you can't fit in here, but you could do this. And I just remember I was always like saying to mum, I'm like, the lady's house smells where I do that.
It's all good though, because you got to do shit you don't like to do, because that's life. As you go further in, it's how much stuff do you do that you don't like?
It's amazing. You start with a blank slate basically with the kid, don't you, apart from like those little bits. Like even last night, my son was like crying about losing a game. We were playing poison ball and it's like, oh, yeah, like resilience.
Well, you smashed him in the face.
Yeah. Like, apart from being whacked in the face. But, that whole thing, like teaching them, it's okay. Like often you won't win. Like, you know, like don't feel bad. Mum's not that even great at catching a ball.
A new thing for Bodhi. We were driving and I said Ninjalinos, which is the name of an enemy in PJ Masks. There's these ninja people and they throw sticky splats. Mm. Anyway, I said
sticky what?
Sticky splats. These across it. It's pretty cool. They throw these sticky splats and stick people to the wall.
Oh, cool.
It's great. So
it's like Spider-Man's.
Yeah.
Is this what you're watching?
I've seen Bodhi watching it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so I said, so Bodhi says Ninjalinos like this, Ninaninos, because he can't say it. Mm-hmm. And I said, do you want me to put the Ninaninos song on? So I said it the way he does it. Mm-hmm. It's not Ninaninos. And I said, how is it? And he was trying to say it and he was getting so upset because he knew how it sounded, mm-hmm. but he couldn't say it. Yeah. And it was the first moment he's ever been, like, I encourage him when he said Ninaninos because I think it's so cute. I'm like, no, it's Ninaninos. It's okay. But he found it, he was so upset. And I was like, imagine realizing you can't fucking talk properly.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens to me weekly.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, my friend maybe when we were in year 12, so not recently at all, who am I kidding? But she had this moment where she realized it wasn't Hote Kangas. She thought it was Hote Kangas instead of coat hangers because her parents had always done like that rhyming slang. She literally thought it was called Hote Kangas. And I was like, but what, like it hangs a coat. She was like, oh my gosh. Like she had a real moment.
We have a 20-year-old in the room who thinks it's Snitzel still.
Snitzel, I mean.
I've heard him say Snitzel.
Instead of Schnitzel.
We just call it crumb chicken.
Have you heard of snack tea?
You have a snack tea.
Explain snack tea, 97.
It's when your parents can't be bothered cooking tea, so you have a snack tea.
Oh, I gave Bodhi snack tea last night.
Yeah.
It's like carrots and red pepper sticks.
A picnic tea, I call it. Yeah, snack tea. On all of our leftovers.
Yeah, because he was literally, I said, what are you doing? Like I said, what are you doing tonight? He's like, I'm having snack tea.
It's so cute, isn't it?
But you said it in a way as if I knew what it was.
Yeah, had a snack tea.
Yeah, snack tea.
It's all normal to him. Mm-hmm. Leah, nice. Thank you so much for coming in.
You're off now. You're going to busk now?
I'm going to interview Harrison Craig, mm-hmm. who was the second winner of The Voice, I think Voice second series.
Mm-hmm. I had him on the show in Shepparton.
Oh, there you go. I'm going to ask him about you.
He wouldn't remember. If he remembers, I'll give him a prize.
Well, Leah and I are emceeing an event. A
we
friend
are.
In me.
Yes.
That's on the 14th of December.
Yes.
Free?
And it's at 10 a.m. no. at Melbourne Museum. It's not free.
This Gronk. Free for kids.
Free for kids.
$30 for adults.
And you know what? I think because it's Black Friday, there's actually a discount at the moment. Mm-hmm. So
today.
You can get tickets.
Yeah.
But Harrison's going to be performing. So today he and I are going to make some promo videos and we're going to do a bit of busking.
He's got the voice of an angel.
He does. He's beautiful.
So what songs are you going to do?
Well, this is what I need. So anyone on the live stream, can you give me some Christmas carol ideas? Mm-hmm. Because he has to change. I want to make him change the words to Christmas carols to be promotional songs.
Oh, great.
You know, so get your ticket.
So you're taking the tune. It's almost
take the tune, change it, yeah.
Write a script. It's like Spicks and Specks. You know how they have a passage in a book?
Yes.
They don't read the book anymore, do they? Spicks and Specks? Is it just all reruns now?
No, I'm pretty sure. I don't know. Yeah, I see it on TV. It's at my parents' house. I see it going. But yeah, write a script and then get him to do it to Jingle Bells.
Okay, Jingle Bells is another one. What about the
Papa Tum Tum?
Yes. Yeah. Get your tickets. You can do that.
It would be good if it was a .com.
Yeah, it would be great if you guys were like Harrison Craig.
I know. Sorry, guys. Sorry.
It's your parents' fault for not getting any singing lessons.
If only. Thanks, guys. I did do some.
Oh, you got it later?
No, she had singing lessons, but no instrument.
I thought you did the piano. No, Josh. Did piano. Sorry, I got it fucked up.
It's totally fine.
You guys could do a duet. You sing, he plays piano, but he.
I can't do it. I could do chopsticks. Yeah.
Are we doing costume changes?
It would be great. I'm trying to work out what to wear. Like we need to work. So Leah and I
can't wear your Lululemon shorts.
These shorts need to go.
They do.
Like if we're going to up this game.
But what if your leg sells the event?
Yeah.
If we're going to up our vision.
Your legs would sell the event as well.
And the longevity of this show.
What do you think? Like, they're comfortable. I think it's good for my back.
What? Your pants have nothing to do with your back.
They do. If you wear skinny jeans, you actually...
Don't fucking wear skinny jeans.
You're pulling your whole body down.
But you can't say it's either short shorts or nothing.
So I'm trying to work out what the in-between is.
Yeah, okay.
These aren't
skinny. They seem pretty skinny.
Yeah, they're just tight, but they're not... They're like...
They feel comfy?
So comfy. I came from looking like this every single day, being a personal trainer. You don't have an excuse. You're not a PT. You're not working in the fitness industry.
No, I get it. No, I would. I definitely. For Black Friday, I'm going to
buy a quad lock case.
Buy a quad lock case, but also going to look at potential clothes because I find it easier to buy t-shirts, like tops and stuff, pants.
You got to go into the shop. I have to try them on. Mm. Like I tried on four pairs before I got
to
these.
So annoying, but like admin wise.
A year ago.
Mm. Well, that's it. I've got one pair of jeans.
You've just given up.
Yeah. Well, they're in my bag. I always have them in my bag. Good just in case that like the president from the US comes. Not even I don't know, if someone important comes. I'm not saying you're not important.
Yeah, thanks,
later,
Josh. No, thanks a lot.
But I'm guessing someone that's would care. Who would care? What would the corporate?
Just a business meeting. We got something at 4 p.m. Yeah. today. Got a person coming in.
I was still going to wear.
Put them on. Don't be a gronk. Like it's just a personal.
Can you pretend that you're going to be active? Like I feel like that helps me on days where I'm wearing active wear. I'm like, oh, I just got to, you know, but I don't necessarily do it.
Yeah, sure. Are you wearing active wear going to the school?
Or what was your outfit? Okay. For practice prep, I really made sure I wore like a nice dress with a belt and straightened my hair because I wanted them to think I'm a responsible parent.
How much like PE Nation and stuff, like what were people wearing?
I noticed there was a few ladies who had full makeup and like jagged clothes on. You know, like they're really nice active wear. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to get in that group. How do I get in that group?
Okay, well, active wear.
Goodbye, jagged.
Yeah.
It's probably Black Friday.
Just doing squats out the front.
Guys, I squat all the time.
It sounds stressful. Terrible.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Lee, for bringing in some
Now
Fat
we can
Fridays
actually smash that. We haven't treats. Even smashed the treats. The
no, we're going to do it off the show. We've been having structured fun. It's been amazing.
That's
the name of the episode, Structured Fun.
If you're a business and want video production, reach us at hi@thedailytalkshow.com. We're trying to like tell people what we do now.
Yeah, we're working with your husband
on a
video production. A testimonial. What is he saying so far?
So far, he is loving it.
Okay, great.
He feels a bit nervous on camera.
Mm, that's fine.
But I think you guys are putting him at ease.
That's good. That's what we wanted. Right. Daily Talk Show. See you tomorrow, guys, for Weekend Banter.
See you guys.
Bye.